Laudato Jesus Christus. This is the English program of Vatican Radio.
Hello and welcome to this edition of our English feature programme. I'm Philippa Hitchin. Coming up in just a moment, the statue of Our Lady of Lourdes arrives in Rome to mark the end of the 150th anniversary of the Marian apparitions. And stay tuned for episode 25 of our weekly radio drama, To the Ends of the Earth, taking us back to the days of the first evangelisation. This weekend sees the start of a three-day celebration here in Rome, marking the end of the 150th anniversary of the Marian apparitions of Our Lady to the young Bernadette Soubirous at the Grotto in Lourdes in southeastern France. Over the past year, celebrations have been taking place in Lourdes, with over 1.5 million pilgrims visiting the shrine, including a very special visitor, Pope Benedict XVI, who spent 3 days there during a pastoral journey to France last September. While the closing of this anniversary year will be marked with special processions and liturgies in Lourdes itself, the statue of Our Lady from the Grotto will spend 3 days here in Rome, in the Basilica of St. Mary Major, for 3 days or a triduum of prayer, adoration and Eucharistic celebrations. The statue was due to be carried in procession into the Basilica on Saturday evening and to leave again for France on Monday afternoon, following a Mass for the Feast of the Immaculate Conception, concelebrated by Vatican Secretary of State Cardinal Tarcisio Bertone. The Mass on Monday morning will be broadcast live on Rai, the Italian state television. During his pastoral visit to the world's most popular Marian shrine, Pope Benedict spoke of the importance of these 150th anniversary celebrations, highlighting the significance of Lourdes as an example of faith and hope for our world today. As well as celebrating Mass with the sick and with all the French bishops gathered for the occasion, the Pope also walked the so-called Jubilee Way, marking 4 stages of the young Bernadette's journey of faith before her death at just 35 years old. Let's look back now to that highlight of the papal visit. Just before the Pope's arrival in Lourdes, the chaplain to all the English-speaking pilgrims at the shrine, Father Martin Moran, told me more about the Jubilee Way that pilgrims have been walking throughout this anniversary year.
It's called the Jubilee Way, and it's the 4 steps. The first stage of the Jubilee Way is the baptismal font in the parish church. It's the original font where St. Bernadette was baptized. Unfortunately, it's not the original church because the church was destroyed by a fire. And behind, on the wall behind the font, you have a beautiful photocopy of the baptismal certificate of Bernadette. That's the first stage, and it recalls to mind our own baptism and asks us as adults to reflect on our baptism and the vows that were made for on behalf of us when we were children. The second stage is the Cascio, and that's where Bernadette's family were living at the time of the apparitions. And I'm sure lots of people, I'm sure, know already that was where a place of great poverty. It was the old jail, and actually condemned jail. It wasn't even seen fit for prisoners of the day. And that's where Bernadette and her family ended up after they fell into some poverty. And the theme there is the Beatitudes. And, we're asked to meditate on the Beatitudes and how poverty is in our own day and who are the Soubirous in today's world. The third step then is the grotto itself, going through, entering the sanctuary area by the official Jubilee door, the St. Michael's Gate, and making our way down towards the grotto under the arches that a lot of people would be familiar with, and venerating the icon of Our Lady. And then a visit to the grotto, and then from there back into the town again to visit the oratory of the old hospital where Bernadette made her first Holy Communion. And they are the four stages of the Jubilee Way. And as you rightly say, Philippa, many, many thousands of people have already completed the Jubilee Way so far this year. Numbers, you know, the numbers of people that have done it are quite phenomenal. And Pope Benedict will be a regular and ordinary pilgrim completing that Jubilee Way himself over the weekend. He'll do it in two stages. He'll do the first three stages on Saturday evening when he arrives in Lourdes, and then on Monday morning he will complete the Jubilee Way by visiting the oratory and the old hospital. We have many pilgrimages from all parts of France come here, diocesan pilgrimages, different organizations, societies, groups, families come from all parts of France to make their pilgrimage here. And so I think, and the Pope, His Holiness, is also meeting with the French bishops when he's here at the weekend. So it certainly does play an important role in the life of the church here in France.
Now, as we're saying, Pope Benedict is marking the 150th anniversary of the apparitions. And people have been celebrating, as you say, throughout the whole of this year already. There are some important events, aren't they, being organised throughout this year to try and celebrate this Jubilee in many different ways.
There are. One of the things that, one of the highlights of the Jubilee year would be the 12 mission statements that were proposed by Bishop Jacques Perrier, the Bishop of Tarbes-en-Lourdes, and highlighting different aspects of the mission of the Church today. And different groups, then different pilgrimages, are taking that up and making that very much a theme of their own pilgrimage. For example, one of the mission themes is the Church in mission with those with disability, and a large British based organization, the HCPT, they took that up, and they are also holding a conference in November to mark the Jubilee year, and they've got some very good speakers lined up for that. Other pilgrimages have taken up other themes. Another one is the Church in Mission for Christian Unity, and again at the end of this month we're very fortunate to have the visit of the Society of Mary, an Anglican church group with particular devotion to Mary, and we will also have at that pilgrimage a group of Catholics from Walsingham, the national shrine in England, and the Archbishop of Canterbury, Dr. Rowan Williams.
As you say, you're talking about the importance of remembering this anniversary, not as an event that happened 150 years ago, but something that really can speak to Christians of all different denominations today. What do you think is the ongoing message, if you like, if you had to summarise the ongoing message of Lourdes for Christians today?
Lourdes is a great leveller. People come here with their own intentions, with their own wishes, their own desires, their own hopes. And when they put that in the context of their fellow pilgrims when they're here, it seems to make everyone seem more equal. You know, people will come with a very grave illness, and they will often say, I thought I was, you know, I was in very poor health, or I thought my situation in my life was bad. When I see other pilgrims, it puts it into perspective. And I think Lourdes does that. It gives people a sense of renewing their faith. It gives them the space to do that, to renew their faith in a very busy world.
Thanks there to Father Martin Moran, chaplain to the English-speaking pilgrims at Lourdes. He was talking to me just ahead of the Pope's arrival at the shrine last September. And now Jill Bevilacqua presents episode 25 of our radio drama, To the Ends of the Earth, as we celebrate this Pauline year, marking 2,000 years since the birth of the Apostle of the Gentiles. This 26-part serialization of events in the Acts of the Apostles and the Letters of St. Paul takes us back to the days immediately following Pentecost and our Lord's instruction to the first disciples to take the good news to the ends of the earth.
We present today the 25th episode of our radio drama, To the Ends of the Earth. The last episode told of Paul's time in Rome under house arrest, of his release and departure for Gaul, of the arrival in Rome of Peter and Mark, who witnessed the fire of Rome. In today's episode, you will hear of the aftermath of the fire, of Peter's letter, of Nero's accusation of the Christians, and the refuge of some of them in an underground tomb.
And this is what everyone is talking about, Paul. It's not clear whether the fire was accidental or whether it was caused by a criminal act on the part of the emperor. Nobody dared fight the flames. Attempts to do so were prevented by menacing gangs. Torches, too, were openly thrown in by men crying that they acted under orders. The terror lasted for 6 days and seven nights. It was surely the most terrible and destructive fire that Rome ever experienced. Thanks be to God, all our people are safe, though many have lost all they had. All of us here greet you and wish you well in your work. How soon may we expect to see you here in Rome? Your companion in Christ, Silvanus.
There, Peter. And Mark. Take a draught. It's wine from the hills. Father brought it before the fire started.
That's good. Thanks, Putentiana.
Thank you, my dear. Oh, yes, it is good. This should be kept for celebrating the Lord's Supper.
I'm glad you like it. Maybe we can get some more now the fire's died down.
Yes, thank the Lord it seems to have been stamped out at least. And our people are all safe. Mark and I have been to every house.
And Silvanus?
He should be here any minute. He was looking for writing materials. I must get that letter finished. We've been so busy with the sick and the homeless.
The Emperor's having shacks built for them, they say. But it'll take years to rebuild. Our city's a ruin. There are only 4 districts still intact.
And how many were there?
14. Oh, there's the door. I'll go and answer.
Ah, good. That's Silvanus.
Peter.
Yes, Mark?
I know this letter's important, but you won't forget my idea, will you? I'm ready to start any time.
Of course I haven't forgotten, Mark. The Master's words, everything he said, everything he did is here, inside me, engraved on my heart. We'll do it, Mark, don't worry. And your name will be known and loved by Christians in 100, 200, maybe even 1,000 years from now.
Oh, Peter. But it's not for me, you know. I don't care if no one remembers me. But the Lord's story, your story.
Come and have some wine.
Ah, Silvanus.
It's really very good.
Mark, Peter, all well?
All well. Here, taste this wine. Pudin's brought it, his daughter said.
Good. Well, now, you want to get back to that letter, right?
If you're ready. You got the parchment.
I did, but I had to bargain a bit. Everything's so expensive now since the fire. Right, let's see now. We've got to... Each one of you has received a special grace, yes?
Special grace? Now I remember. Yes. So, like good stewards, responsible for all these different graces of God, put yourselves at the service of others. If you are a speaker, speak in words which seem to come from God. If you are a helper...
Just a minute. If you are a helper...
Is everything all right? Can I bring you some more wine?
No, thank you.
We don't want to fall asleep.
Maybe a jar of water. I'm getting a bit hoarse, all this talking.
I'll go to the well with you.
Thank you, Mark.
So, where were we?
It's a blessing for you when they insult you.
Ah, yes. When they insult you for bearing the name of Christ, because it means that you have the Spirit of glory resting on you.
The Spirit of glory.
Good. Now let me think.
Well, I don't know how to explain it. I just have this feeling that Paul doesn't care much for women, that's all.
Oh, that's not true, Praxedes. He met lots of women on his journeys, and he always had a very good relationship with them.
Maybe. But I can't imagine him ever marrying any of them.
Now, that's silly. You know, if he hadn't become a disciple, he'd have had a wife like any other rabbi. Mm. You should read his letters. In one of them, he says just that. I think it was the one he wrote to the Corinthians. He said, "Have we not every right to eat and drink, and to take a Christian woman round with us, like all the other apostles?"
Did Paul say that?
He certainly did. And he said that men need women and women need men, and that both come from God.
Mm. But he also said that women shouldn't speak at church meetings, but should keep in the background.
So they should. It's not dignified for a woman to speak in public.
I know that, but supposing a woman has something important to say. I mean, isn't she a member of the church as well as a man?
That doesn't give her a right to speak in public.
But there was someone, who was it, said we are all part of the priesthood, priests, prophets and kings. Well, so why not queens?
Oh, Praxedes, what are you trying to say? That women should be priests?
Well, why shouldn't they? If we're all equal in God's eyes...
That doesn't mean we can do a man's job any more than a man can do a woman's.
Oh, I think one day things will be different. I think women will speak in public. In the church, anyway.
Oh, you're dreaming, Praxedes. Can you imagine the men listening to a woman laying down the law? She'd be torn to pieces.
Well, the Lord listened to his mother when she asked him to provide wine at that wedding.
That's different. She was a special person.
I know. Oh, but oh well, it's no use talking, I suppose.
Ready, Peter?
Yes, we've nearly finished. Now, be calm but vigilant, because your enemy, the devil, is prowling around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour. Stand up to him, strong in faith and in the knowledge that your brothers and sisters all over the world are suffering the same things. You will only have to suffer for a little while. The God of all grace who called you to eternal glory in Christ will see that all is well again. He will confirm, strengthen, and support you. His glory and power lasts forever and ever. Amen. There. That's it, Silvanus.
Ever and ever, amen. And the closing?
Yes. I write these few words to you through Silvanus, who is a friend I know I can trust.
What is that shouting?
I'm going to see.
No, Mark. Wait, be careful.
Don't go outside.
The Emperor, did you hear? He started the fire.
Who said? How do you know?
Come inside, Mark. That's a dangerous sounding crowd.
It's all right. I'm only on the balcony. What's that they're saying? Christians. Oh, look, there's the Senator, Putenciana's father. They're taking him away.
Mark, come in, quickly.
Someone's at the door.
It's Praxedes.
Pudenciana's sister?
Open the door, quick!
Praxedes, what is it? What's happening?
It's terrible! They've taken father away! You must escape quickly, all of you! It's a persecution! The city's in uproar! They're rounding up all the Christians they can find! Where's Pudenciana?
She's baking bread for tonight. We're all meeting here for the Lord's Supper.
I must go and tell her immediately. She must come. We must get away. We must hide.
And your father?
Oh, Peter... I don't know what to do. What will they do to him?
Why do they want the Christians? What have they got against us?
The fire.
It's all because of the fire. The people said the Emperor started it. And they were clamoring outside his palace. And he came out and said, what are you saying? I've opened my gardens, given you refuge in the public buildings, had food brought from Ostia, reduced the price of corn. I love you all. I love Rome. Why should I want to burn it? It's those Christians with their superstition, their love feasts, their hatred of humanity.
The Lord help us all.
Peter, what shall we do?
Where can we go? Do you know anywhere, Praxedes? You're a Roman. You must know a safe place.
Oh, Prudenciana. I'll ask Prudenciana. Oh, there she is. Prudenciana, our father. Father, Prudenciana.
What is it? What's happened? What are you all looking so worried about?
It's the Emperor. He's blaming the Christians for the fire. The people are going wild. They're calling for a mass execution.
The people?
Well, it's the Emperor, really. The people had this idea. He started the fire himself so he could build a new palace.
And he got frightened when he saw they were all against him, so...
He's found a scapegoat. That's what he's done.
And Father, they've taken him away, Prudenciana. He was just walking peacefully at home with me. I didn't even have the time to say goodbye.
There, Praxedes. Don't worry. We'll go and find him. Where were they going?
I don't know. They just pulled at him and I fell down and there were so many of them I couldn't see.
Listen, ladies, and both of you, Mark and Sylvanus, we must be practical. We must not panic. Try and calm your sister, Prudenciana.
But Peter, our father!
I know, child. I have a daughter. She would be concerned for me, too, I know. We must be sensible. We know we didn't start this fire. And probably the people know, too. But they're in a desperate state. Many of them have no homes anymore. And they're roaming the streets looking for someone to take out their anger on. And now the Emperor has given them a victim.
Our father!
No, Praxedes. Your father just happened to be there at the wrong moment. He's a highly respected senator. But they know he's a Christian. And he won't be the only one they'll find, walking unsuspectingly home.
Yes, when a crowd gets nasty, there's no knowing where things will end.
What can we do, Peter?
We must go and warn everyone. But first, you two girls must get away. They'll come back here and look for you.
I know where we could go. That old cemetery just outside the city. There's a tomb with an underground passage.
A tomb? Where the dead lie? Oh, I couldn't.
It's an idea.
The dead cannot hurt us, sister. And we will all be together.
And Father?
Don't you worry. We'll look for him. You go with your sister, any of the women you can collect. And what about your mother?
Mother? Well, she's still up at the villa, in the hills.
Good. She's safe then. Thank the Lord.
For the moment, when a madman gets an idea...
Hush! Don't let the girls hear you.
Are we going, Peter?
No more fear, huh, Mark? Good lad. Sylvanus?
Ready when you are.
Right. Now, girls. Mark and Sylvanus and myself will go and tell our people to get out of the city as quickly as possible. Tell me, Prudenciana. Would there be room for all of us in this tomb? I mean...
Oh, yes, it's enormous. It's got long passages. They go on for miles. You could get lost in them.
And how do you get to this place?
I know the way. The senator took me once. He said it might be useful one day.
He's a wise man, Prudence. Well, we'll meet there, and we'll celebrate the Lord's Supper. Did you finish the bread, Prudenciana?
It should be risen by now. I'll bring it with me. And some of that wine.
Good. Then that's settled. Till tonight, then. And the Lord be with us all. Godspeed.
Hush! Hush, my people! Hush! Shh! Calm yourselves! Why this fury against your emperor? Listen to me! It is not your emperor who did this terrible deed. It is the Christians! Death to the Christians!
And the day before he suffered, he took bread,
where
broke it...
Someone's coming.
And
I'll go and see. Ah, it's the senator. He got away.
Peter! Daughters!
Oh, Father! You're all right!
I'm all right. They let me go. But the Emperor's soldiers are rounding up every Christian in sight. It's going to be a massacre. Nero's planning a huge spectacle in the circus. It sounds terrifying.
They won't come here, will they, Father?
There's no knowing, daughter. The Emperor has spies everywhere.
I must go back. I can't abandon our people like this.
No, Peter, you can't. You mustn't go, Peter. Don't you understand? The community needs you.
But our people are in danger.
Poodles is right, Peter. You must stay hidden. If they get you, what will happen to the church?
The Lord will take care of the church. And I've already consecrated Linus to be my successor.
Peter, listen. If you go now, you will put everyone in danger, not just yourself, but all of us here, too. Wait till things have calmed down a bit.
It seems to be my destiny to run away.
It's not running away, Peter. It's being prudent. Don't you remember what the Lord said? Be wise as the serpent.
Gentle as the dove. Well, Mark, how you have grown in faith.
The Spirit has been working in me, Peter.
Well, very well. I will stay for the moment. But let us pray for our people in danger of their lives. And when our turn comes, we will not be afraid to testify to the Lord.
Our people have paid for this madman's crime, for all the emperor's largesse, and as you can imagine, his attempts to propitiate his gods did not suffice to allay the scandal or banish the belief that the fire had been ordered. And so, to get rid of this rumor, Nero set up the Christians as the culprits. I myself narrowly escaped death, as I will recount when I see you. But do not worry, the girls and I are safe. So also is Peter, and with us many of our friends. Alas, many others perished in that wave of terror. Arrest was first made of those who confessed to being Christians. Then on their evidence, an immense multitude was convicted, not so much on the charge of arson as because of hatred of the human race. Can you believe it? Our faith, which is a religion of love. The horrific part is that, besides being put to death, they were made to serve as objects of amusement. They were clad in the hides of beasts and torn to death by dogs. Others were crucified. Others set on fire to serve to illuminate the night when daylight failed. I cannot go on. Dear wife, take care of yourself. We will join you at the villa as soon as the roads are safe. Christ Jesus preserve us all. Your loving husband, Pudent.
You have been listening to episode 25 of our radio drama, To the Ends of the Earth. Taking part in this episode were Ken Belton, Jack Gillen, Maya Glickman, Buck Heron, Anna Mazzotti, Bruce McGuire, and Veronica Wells. The sound engineer was Tommaso Pallottino. The program was written by Jill Bevilacqua and produced by Sean Patrick Lovett in the studios of Vatican Radio in Rome.
And you can join Jill Bevilacqua for the final part of our radio drama To the Ends of the Earth at this same time next week. The English programme will be back on the air at this same time tomorrow, so do join us then if you can. In the meantime, don't forget you can find all our news and feature programmes on the internet at www.vaticanradio.org/English. For now, stay tuned to Vatican Radio. Laudato Jesus Christus.